Blog Talk Radio.
Jesus, draw me ever nearer as I labor through the storm. Has called me to this passage, and I
Good evening, Nathan.
Carter, you live.
Okay, welcome everybody. This is our Tuesday night show with Blog Talk Radio, and we have Dr. Alali on the phone, and we'd just like to welcome everybody to the call tonight. And we're going to put out our disclaimer that this call is for educational purposes only, not meant to treat, heal, or cure any diseases or diagnose any diseases. But you can find this information useful and helpful to you and your family and friends, and you are more than welcome to use that to benefit your life and the life of the ones you love. We're not going to take up any more time because I think we have some special guests on the line, along with Dr. Alali, because she always has some great guests for us to inform us, educate us, and help us on that way to better life and better health and longevity. Dr. Alali, are you with us?
I'm with you, Ida. I want to thank you for being on the line tonight and being a fabulous hostess. You and Nathan are just a wonderful team. Before we went live, I was giving thanks to God and expressing my thanksgiving to him because his compassion, his mercy and grace and his hope for us to have a healthier nation is just fabulous. And I just really love and appreciate you guys sacrificing your time and resources every Tuesday to be on this line with me.
It's no problem. Glad to be here.
So we had the distinguished opportunity tonight to talk about Seizure Talk Radio. 1 in 26 persons in the United States will develop a seizure disorder in their lifetime. Does that concern you tonight? Well, it concerns me. I spent the day at a robotics conference where I met people from all over the United States, from the military, from universities, talking about how rapidly our world is changing, how much more electrical our world is becoming. We're moving in the world of microchips and nanochips, and before we know it, electricity and electrical transmitting devices are going to be in everything that we do and touch. And so the World Health Organization has proclaimed that the more exposure you have to electrical current, the greater the risk for seizure. We have to be concerned about developing seizures. You know, my passion for seizures has just, you know, evolved as I've gotten all these testimonies from mothers and from wellness practitioners and naturopathic practitioners and medical doctors talking about how disruptive seizures are to daily living in these children. Tonight, if you got an email broadcast about this show, you are given a link to a video about our world, seizure disorder, epilepsy, our world. And I took the time to watch that video. It rendered such a compelling argument for the compassion and for the awareness of seizures in America. If you tuned in last week, you heard Angel, the mother, and doctoral student. I'm so proud of her. She's studying psychology of health, dealing with people's belief systems and how to get people to make the necessary changes that they need for health. And it's been tremendous to be able to interact with a mother who's a PhD student who has had a 18-year journey with a child that has 600 seizures a day translated. Every 25 seconds, this child is having a seizure. That's not a figment of her imagination. She wears a device that records how many seizures she's having. And she's been on a clinical study at Columbia University for the last 4 years. They were successful in reducing that seizure incident from 600 down to 300. And she shared about her world with the nanos last week, how her child is now seizure-free. Everybody needs to say that loud. Seizure-free.
Seizure-free.
Talk about seizure-free. It's almost like a revolution. Seizure-free. They don't have the medication. They're not smoking marijuana. They're not taking anything that's giving them a side effect. They're using an energy chip that energizes them and balances them and helps to block radiation from absorbing in the body. The nano was developed as an electrical safety device. It wasn't developed as a health or wellness tool, even though it's made of natural frequencies. But it's so mind-boggling every single week that I'm hearing from these mothers around the world. I heard from a 19-year-old young lady, seizure disorder from birth. Her testimony was that they said she would never conceive a child. And she wanted me to know that her baby is 1 year old and the baby is seizure-free and she is seizure-free. And she was so excited because she wants to be a cosmetologist. And she told me she had found the school and made an application to go to cosmetology school. And she was so nervous about having to work with electrical devices, curling irons and blow dryers, because she didn't feel she would be able to sustain that type of career and industry being exposed to electricity continuously. But she says since she's been wearing her nano in her necklace, she has been seizure-free. And when she does her own hair now, she used to have somebody else do it, she says she can hold that blow dryer and she does not have seizure activity. So this, she has hope for a future. She has hope for a future. And that has made me so excited today to be able to talk about the future, see the future, and see how this 3D printing is creating a whole world that we dreamed of, that we never dreamed of. It's making it possible for them to have the tools that they need in the battlefield and on battleships and on submarines without the logistics of flying equipment in and out. And it's going to create a future for having nano-infused technology that can block radiation from absorbing in the body when you're using these devices that have come off of an electrical machinery. Isn't that something? It is something to shout about. And so I want to thank everybody for being on this line, and hopefully you've taken time to watch the video. Does anybody want to share any comments on that video that we sent out today on seizure and seizure diseases, people suffering with seizure disorders? Anybody got any comments, any testimonies that they want to share?
Yeah, I just watched it a couple of hours ago, and I thought it was a really well done video about this problem.
It wasn't an excellent, and what I liked about it was that it showed seizures across the lifespan. You know, when we think about seizures, we're thinking about children, but it's phenomenal to see how many adults have seizures and how disruptive it is to their lifestyle. One gentleman shared about how he lost his ability to drive. Can you imagine having the autonomy to drive and come and go whenever you want, and all of a sudden you have a head injury or you start developing seizures and you've lost your ability to drive? And then another father was so compelling. He was talking about his daughter's rare seizure disorder. She, again, was among 1,000 children in the world, and how every time she had a seizure, her risk for having that sudden death syndrome, how he often wondered, was that her last moment of life? How unnerving and how stressful this seizure disorder, how disruptive it is to families trying to manage these people in these seizures. And it's just so tremendous that we have to raise our voice. We have to to have some concern about our neighbor and about the children in our community that's having these seizures. And it was just so compelling to hear Angel talk about Destiny making the AB honor roll. Can you imagine? She has never been on the honor roll in her academic life. And since she's been using these nanos, her mother has testified that she has been on the AB honor roll for the last two honor rolls. She's been able to complete her exam. She's been able to complete her school project. And she is so ecstatic and elated with life. She's almost become like a little robot. She's got a check system. Okay, I got my purse, I got my pencils, I got my book bag. Do I have my nanos on? And the angel was sharing that they even have a backup plan at school. She's got nanos in the principal's office in case she needs one. Because what they've learned, and Angel shared, what they've been studying is that what's her window of time if the nano falls off? How long can she go before she's having another seizure? And she said that window of time is 2 hours. So she knows if she has to constantly or periodically through the day inventory to make sure all her nanos are on. If she starts feeling funny or has a sensation that she might be getting ready to have a seizure, she knows to check her nanos, the position of her nanos, and to make sure that she has them on. Angel has said that some days she doesn't need 3 nanos. She's down to really having a maintenance with 2. But she said that when she gets around her cycle, she needs the full 3. So that's another adjustment that she has made in the protocol. And even though the nanos, go ahead, somebody want to share? I thought I heard a sound.
Yeah, it was a wow.
That was a wow. Okay, thank you for sharing the wow. What I'm excited about is that even though those nanos were not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent disease, I'm excited to learn that they are now part of a clinical study, actually 2 clinical studies, one that's going on in New York City, and the other one that's going on in Charlotte, in Raleigh, North Carolina, as the doctors that have been taking care of Destiny all these years are now documenting her progress with these nanos. They have been written into the clinical studies, and they're actually pulling data from her way back from when she was 18 months old all the way out. They're comparing her EEGs, her brain scans of the activity before the nanos and the activities now. And they are totally dumbfounded at how her brain waves have normalized. They don't see the disruption and the static in the activity of the brain waves, how they seem to be more cohesive and more integrated. It's almost as if these nanos are correcting the power factor of the electrical system of the brain, so to speak, that it's making it run like a smooth operator, enhancing communication. You know, it's amazing to see the contrast of differences, and it's so excited for these doctors to make this report. It's going to be tremendous, and Angel is just so ecstatic with joy to have her daughter this relieved. I've been sharing this case study everywhere I go. I've been sharing the case study of Morgan, the little girl who launched it, and Satira. I wish everyone could see Satira. That's our next video. The video with Satira and the video with Destiny. If you could see the progress that this little girl is making, she went from being totally listless and lifeless, and her parents could not pivot her. She had no strength to stand on any of her legs. And within 5 months, she is now standing. And they can do a pivotal transfer and put her in the bathtub. She's able to soak and bathe in nano-energized water. And her world is gone completely forward up and over the star. I mean, I visited her a few weeks ago, and I couldn't believe it was the same young woman, because even though she's 21 years old, her statue is, she has a very small statue, like a 10-year-old, and her mother said her growth was stunted. But she was so alert and lively and laughing. When we first met her, she just made like grunting sounds. There was no verbalization. There was no association of words to activities. She just kind of was looking at us with this long, listless, lifeless stare. But today, she is radiant. She's robust. She's dialogued in conversation. Heather started crying. Heather was with me when I went to see her. Heather was just in tears. She's like, I am seeing a miracle. I said, yes, you are. And it is for that reason that I thank everybody that's on this show tonight, all of you that interrupted your Tuesday evening, because it was a press. It was a press because I'm sitting in the highway. I had to pull over in the parking lot of McDonald's to do this radio show while I am in the presence of one of the founding editors of USA Today national newspaper. I've been hanging out with her at this robotics conference down in the beautiful state of Virginia, and it's been tremendous to see her take from a broadcast or from a journalist perspective, her take on the future and on this nanotechnology. And she said she was hungry. She ran in to get something to eat. But she's going to give us at least a word on this radio show. She is so excited about the nanos. And she is so excited about helping us to get the news releases out and to spread our wings. We're excited about the nationally syndicated media personalities that she's putting us in contact with. Had a chance to speak briefly to some of the CNN personalities, and it's just amazing how this evolution is creating a revolution. The evolution of nanotechnology, the grace that it is producing, is creating a revolution of change for, again, sustainable human energy. I got an email from the XPRIZE Foundation, which is a foundation of billionaires. You have Larry Page from Google that's on that foundation, and Kevin Harrington of Shark Tank, and there's billionaires and millionaires from around the world. And one of the top priorities of concern that they have is sustainable human energy. And the seizure disorder is a classic example of the loss of energy and the discombobulation of brain function, the disruption, the storm that happens inside of the brain when the nerves are not able to have a smooth, rhythmic communication with each other, and it short circuits in this child or an adult is in this disruptive activity where they could literally lose their life if that storm and wave of miscommunication impacts the medulla oblongata of the brain so that the correct signaling, the sufficient signaling, cannot communicate to the heart or to the lung. It is the end of life for that person. And to know that we are facing as a nation a runaway epidemic, 1 in 26 people will have this seizure disorder in their lifetime. 1 in 26. And then when you look at that in perspective, the autism spectrum, where we have all these children developing autism, 2 in 91. In some communities, it's 1 in 10. In some communities, 1 child in 3. Look at the state of Arkansas. Autism has increased 33,000% in that state alone. And so we wonder who's going to be running the nation. who will be the next generation of doctors and nurses and surgeons? Who's going to be running McDonald's even? I mean, if we have people who are so debilitated, if we've lost, as the X Prize Foundation has concerned, we're losing our ability for sustainable human energy to have a population that is disease-free, to have children that can be born that will not develop cancer in their womb, in the wombs of their mother, to have babies that will have the cognitive processing to run our country. Who will be our congresspeople? Who will be our senators if everybody has got this cognitive processing going on, or has a debilitating life where when many people have seizures, they are listless and lifeless. They can't think. They can't communicate. Their cognitive processing is not A to Z. They can't think through a matter. Ladies and gentlemen, it is so provoking. It is so nerve-provoking until we have to have some degree of concern. We have to make a change. And so is Mike Wilson on the line? Is Mike Wilson on the line? Well, we're expecting Mike Wilson to show up on the line on this second half. Does anybody have anything that you want to share before we shift to Healthy Smart Homes?
Yeah. I have a young man that I spoke to in Columbia after the workshop over the weekend.
Okay, can you clear your mic and put your voice closer to your microphone?
I got you.
Speak up a little louder. Okay.
Yes, I have a young man on the line that I met in Columbia to a workshop over the weekend that was real interested in our technology. And he is on the line. So I'd like to, Dr. Lotta, I'd like you to, Brother Michael, are you live? You live. You can say something. Brother Michael, maybe he won't talk tonight.
Push one. Okay.
Brother Michael, you live. You can say something. If you just say hello.
Maybe his phone dropped.
Ah. Okay. Maybe he'll come in a little later in the show.
Okay. Well, I want to thank everybody. We're shifting into our second part of the show. Healthy Smart Homes 2020 is our national campaign supporting the Office of the Surgeon General, the Department of Health and Human Services, the Center for Disease Control, the Environmental Protection Agency, and we are so excited. Also, the National Environmental Education Foundation. I learned that Congress has legislated its own foundation to study the effects of environmental toxins. And that foundation is called the National Environmental Education Foundation of Congress. And what I'm excited to learn about that is that they actually have a free curriculum from kindergarten to 12th grade. April is their big education teach-in month. And so you can Google the National Environmental Education Foundation of Congress, and you can get your schools in your community registered, and they can get free curriculum to do all kinds of activities for the month of April. What is so fascinating is that our communities are now mobilizing around this national concern of what are you being exposed to? Is the house that you're living in making you sick? Because the EPA is saying 9 out of 10 houses are making people sick. And now with the national spotlight on Flint, Michigan, and the horrible, horrible situation they have with lead in the water over there, some say it was deliberately done to poison the people of that city. And if so, what a malicious, diabolical feat for anyone to have rigged up the water to deliberately pour, poison a whole community, a whole city of people. And as we saw, we went through the first, one of the first pages of the Developing a Healthy Home booklet from the Center for Disease Control last week, and we saw that lead is a national problem. It's a national concern, lead-based paint and lead in the water, and the CDC was talking about how it is impacting the health of American people coast to coast, from Los Angeles to New York City, from Seattle, Washington to Miami, Florida. And so they were talking about injuries from electricity also. So what's so diabolical about lead? Lead is so diabolical because it can cause all kind of nerve, muscle, miscommunication, and discommunication in the sense that things disconnect. It can create a disconnect at the cellular level and cause you to have all kinds of nerve neuropathies and nerve muscle disorders. It can also poison your brain so that you lose your ability for your cognitive ability for learning and expanding your knowledge base. Lead is so diabolical that it can take your life prematurely because it can poison the blood, and when the blood is poisoned, it can put you into organ failure. All your organs can fail, and so especially the heart. So that's why the story is so critical in Flint, because you have children that are dying. You have children that are being poisoned. Children are so volatile and vulnerable to lead, and it can take out the brain so that this child doesn't even have the cognitive processes for reasoning. And that's the reason why lead, yes, is a component. It's one of those environmental toxins that you need to have your home evaluated for, especially if you have a home that was built in the 50s or 60s when lead-based paint was widely used, and even up in the early part of the 70s. And people just came and painted over all that lead-based paint, and there's a real concern for you to contact the EPA in your city or in your state for some guidance. If you have lead-based paint in your house and you need to strip it out, you need to consult the experts, not only just for lead-based paint removal, but also how it has to be packaged, how it has to be wrapped and bagged, and where it can be discarded, because there are certain, you just can't throw it in the trash can like it's another day. It has to go to a certain waste repository, a depository, so it can be properly discarded. And so having said that, at this show we went to today, looking at the robotics and looking at the future, it was interesting to see. Of course, my big question was, with all these robots and all these new 3D printing machines that have to run for hours and hours, and people being so close to them to manipulate their operatives so everything comes out correctly, has anybody safeguarded the EMF, the electrical power source? Has there been any filtering or any biobalancing done? And it was interesting that they hadn't heard about it. And so we were able to talk about the policy at OSHA, talking about if you have an employee that's required to use an energized machinery, you have to give them protective gear. And then we were able to demonstrate and to retrofit one of the 3D they had there that was actually being manipulated by a robot. And so we were able to demonstrate how that robot could be biobalanced and how that machine could be biobalanced so it was not broadcasting out frequencies. Has Mike Wilson joined us yet? Are we getting back on the line?
Yes, I'm on the phone, kid.
Oh, hey, Mr. Wilson. I would like to thank you, first of all. I'm doing amazing. I want to thank you for interrupting your busy schedule to be on this line tonight, because I know that you're an avid sportsman, and when I talked to you earlier, you said you were out at some family activities watching some sports. And so, ladies and gentlemen, I would like to present the song and introduce the others. One of the NFL stars, Mr. Michael DeForest Wilson, who's a retired 13-year veteran of the NFL. He has so many accolades. He's in so many halls of fame. But his claim to fame is that he has the distinction of being the only NFL player to ever play in every Canadian Professional Football League and every professional football league in the United States. And I've known him for a long time, but he's known me longer than I've known him because he happens to be my eldest brother, and he happens to be my number one fan when it comes to this nanotechnology. So you got a big shout-out from Heather Jo that's in the traveling studio with me, Uncle Mike.
Uncle Mike!
He's got his nickname in the community of Ohio, just north of Cincinnati, is Big Daddy Wilson.
Big Daddy!
And he's got a healthy, smart home. So, Brother Mike, take the show away and tell us. Just talk
good
about
evening, Mike.
Your sister.
Good evening, Mike.
You're on the line with some of your fans from Canada. You have Mr. Mario. I'm not going to say his last name, who is a health physicist on one of the second largest farms in Canada. And you have Mr. Rod Broom, who is a nano water specialist who tests our system on water and lakes. He tests lakes and well water with our technology to see if he can biobalance it. You have Mr. Nathan Hill, who is the sponsor of this radio show, and his co-host, Ms. Ida Morse. They're both from South Carolina, and there's other people listening in. So tell us about your experience with the nanotechnology.
Well, first of all, I'm going to say greetings from Dayton, Ohio, and may the Lord bless each and every one of you. But I've been exposed to nanotechnology as far as the radiation been reduced in my house. I've also used the flat batteries for improvement of health. I just had a knee replaced, and I put a flat battery in my shoe, and it helped the pain considerably. And as far as I've had my utilities reduced, by the nanos placed on my housing grid, so it's been a blessing to be able to use some of the technology and to experience its benefits. So I'm just happy to be connected to a fantastic sister who is making inroads into the scientific world.
And I'm so blessed to have my big brother as one of my staunch supporters. Whenever I come out with a new prototype, he has always been very faithful and supportive, and he tests that prototype for almost a year before anyone else gets to test it. And he tweaks it if I need to do something differently, if I need to add something or take away something, he gives me his critical critique of the technology. And what I love about him is that he has been more than a big brother. He's been my guardian angel. From the time I was a little girl, he's always been my hero. And I'm going to be 60 years old here in a couple of weeks, and we've never had an argument in our life, other than when he stole my chicken wing. And he needed my chicken wings because I didn't want the worm that the chicken ate to come out in the chicken wing. But he's a man of God, he's a pastor, and he's just a fabulous, fabulous human being. And I thank you for being on the show tonight. And I just want to share with everybody that I didn't know my brother was so famous in the NFL. I happened to be looking for a picture of him. And I found a book on eBay that was selling for $104 about Michael DeForest Wilson. I said, I called him up, and it was on sale for $81. I said, why didn't you tell us you wrote a book? He said, I didn't write a book. I said, well, they're selling a book about you on eBay. He said, somebody told me that. And he said that the game show Jeopardy asked the question, who is the only player in the NFL ever to play for all of the five professional football leagues in North America? And said the contestant said, Michael DeForest Wilson of Dayton, Ohio. And I'm like, what? My brother? Surely there's only one Michael DeForest Wilson. And so you got to tell us how in the world you got to playing for all the five NFL football leagues before the flat battery was even born.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Share a little bit about your career before you go. How did you come to play for all of those football leagues?
Well, you don't play for one team forever. When I got cut from Cincinnati, I visited several other NFL teams, and then I was out of football for a minute, and I came back when the World League started. And so when the World League was out, and I played until it folded up, and then I came home and went to Canada for 6 years. And then when I got hurt in Canada, came home, and when my buddy said, hey, man, said they need people in the USFL. So I come back, played in the USFL. So I just played till I had enough. Recognized
well,
I had a family and I had to raise, so I'd stay home for a while.
Well, you know, it was interesting. I was watching the Super Bowl Sunday, and I thought to myself, I said, you know, Cam Newton sure could use some of my brother's help out there. Because that defense of Denver Broncos was so tough, they was taking my quarterback out.
Yeah.
And I had this notion to come and rig you up with some flat batteries.
Right.
Fly to San Francisco, put you
right.
in the game, play this another game of defense.
Well, when I was in Canada, I had a chance to play in two Grey Cups. So that's like the
yeah.
Super Bowl up there. And I had a chance to play one season with, two seasons with Warren Moon before he came to the NFL. So that
wow.
highlighted my career.
Well,
so,
the next time I rendezvous with you, I want to put one of them Super Bowl rings on my finger.
Okay.
That's now on my bucket list because
right. Where are you at now in Carolinas?
I'm actually left the Carolinas. I'm up in Virginia at a conference that I
okay.
went to with Big Dr. Barbara Reynolds of USA Today, and she's going to say hello to you. Hold on 1 second.
All right.
Hello, Michael.
Hello.
Yeah, I am so happy to actually be talking to you. I mean,
okay.
you are a legend. You are a legend, and you're kin to me. It's a long story how you are kin to me, but I'm sure Rhonda can break it down better than I can.
Okay.
But it's
good to meet some relations.
Yeah,
yes.
You still live in Dayton?
Still in Dayton.
Okay.
Came home here. Got a church
yeah,
here,
was,
too,
I,
so.
Yeah, I was teaching there at Central State a couple years ago. I was directing the honors program.
Okay.
At Central State. I didn't know I was that close to you.
That's right up the street.
yeah, but.
Matter of fact, I had two sons graduate from Central. Two
oh,
sons
right.
and a daughter-in-law, right?
Oh my. But
mm-hmm.
We've been really on a roll here. We
okay.
just left the technology conference and on 3D printing. And
okay.
it was a way that you can print even human organs. You
yeah,
know,
that's
don't,
really
don't
something.
Don't ask me how.
Wow.
But you know, it's a scientific technology that's really going to break open in the next 3 or 4 years.
Right.
You can print you know, if you have a cast, you know, you can print another cast. I mean, it's just incredible. I wanted to find out how you can print money. That's what I wanted to find out.
When you find that secret, let me know. If you get to print organs, you're going to be printing money when it makes organs.
And it's amazing that Dr. Reynolds and I have known her. I've seen her at the Press Club in Washington, D.C., and a number of activities for 10 years. We did not know we were cousins. And it's just been phenomenal being able to hang out with her. And she's got she can get to the White House and all these other places, you know, because so celebrated globally. Having been one of the fellows from Harvard to Japan, I don't want to be lying and getting their credentials all mixed up sideways, but
the Neiman
fellow from Harvard to Japan.
They say you are the company that you keep, so surround yourself with good people. If you can't help it, we're a winner.
That's right, and I thank you for having a healthy, smart home and giving me the opportunity to serve you best, because, ladies and gentlemen, I am Dr. Rhoda Ziana Lally because of my brother. He helped to finance my bachelor's in nursing from Capital University, and he used to send me money wrapped up in aluminum foil. Yes. He used to send me $50, $100, and just to say, I'm encouraging you, stay in those books. Get those grades, and because of my brothers cheerleading me, I graduated with a 3.4, and I just thank God that even when I went on to graduate school at Columbia, he was there encouraging me all the way. I love my brother. I am just so blessed to have such a beautiful family. All my sisters and siblings have been part of my laboratory whenever I needed. You know, even when I went to defend for the gold medal, you know, he was helped to finance that defense, and he's always been so loving and so supportive, and I'm so blessed. And I have a very rich family because we love each other, we support each other, we see each other through, and during the good times, the bad times, the up and down times, he's been my cheerleader. So I have the strength to be on this show tonight to talk about this technology. I have the strength to advocate for mothers and fathers that are crying out for children with seizures on a daily basis. Blind man is seeing, and a man that was scheduled to have his feet cut off has his feet cut off because my brother believed in me and gave me an encouraging word. And every time I need him to test some technology, because he's got his own invention, anointing, so to speak. He's very investigative like I am. He likes to tinker around. There's nothing he cannot do. Fix a car, put a roof on, get outside and run the football down the field. You name it, he can do it, and he can throw down on some lean barbecue. And his wife is the best sister-in-law in the world, because I don't know too many women that would support their husbands in putting his siblings through college and all the things that he has supported us to do. So I want to thank you. I promised you I wouldn't keep you on this show tonight, but you do have some fans on the line from Canada and from across America. Does anybody want to ask Mike any questions? So the lines are open for you to talk to Michael DeForest Wilson, the only NFL player to ever play in all of the professional football teams in Canada and the U.S.
Why did North Carolina lose the Super Bowl?
Yeah, Dr. Reynolds said, why did North Carolina lose that Super Bowl, Mike?
Huh?
Dr. Reynolds said, why did North Carolina, why did Cam Newton lose the Super Bowl?
Well, number one, they got out coached, they got out played. Denver has an outstanding defense, and they couldn't block Andre Ware, or they couldn't block the other linebacker on the other side, the one that got the most valuable player. But they, you know, he came in the game. They tried. They scored one, but Denver adjusted some defense at halftime and just shut them down.
Denver shut them down. And my take on it was Denver zeroed in on Cam Newton. They knew that he was a rookie in that Super Bowl, and they just would not let him be mobile. They deliberately strategized to sack him, and they kept him in the sack.
Well, the defensive backs, the whole defense did a really outstanding job, and it didn't let Cam get in any rhythm as far as throwing the ball, and they almost shut the running game down. So they was pretty much done for the second half. So that gives them some things, adjustments they need to make on the off season and next year to come back and be better.
Because I believe
Cam,
that.
Yep.
I believe that. I believe we're going to see a stronger North Carolina, and they're going to get that rhythm of preventing that quarterback from being sacked. They just immobilized his ability to move, so he couldn't dance to even get the ball out.
Right. Remember, 2 years ago, Seattle beat Denver like that in the Super Bowl. So it took Denver 2 years to recover, but they come back strong.
Yes, they did. Yes, they did. Does anybody else have any questions for Mr. Wilson?
Yeah, well, this is Mario Desmarais from Quebec, Canada. I'm really honored to meet the brother of Dr. Lally, woman that I've known, that I've met 3 years ago physically and known for about 7 years. Well, really, really glad to meet you, Mike.
All righty. Likewise here.
Who did you play for in Canada?
I played for Hamilton, Ticats, and then I was traded out to Edmonton and went to the Grey Cup a couple of years.
What years did you play in Canada, Mike?
I went up in 76, and I played 81.
Wow.
I enjoyed my stay there. The Canadian people are really, really special, and they know how to enjoy life. And I really enjoyed my time there. You know, if you come in there, you come to Canada and you're respectful, you do fine. And obey the rules and enjoy the people that's there and recognize you in their country, and you do all right. But I enjoyed myself, and hopefully so much I can go back and still have some friends there.
Well, I have made so many friends in Canada. I'm sorry, Rod, go ahead.
No, I was Mario. What part of Canada have you been? Have you even been visiting Montreal?
Oh, yeah, I've been to Montreal several times.
All right.
Matter of fact,
you played in Montreal?
Yeah, I played in the Grey Cup there.
All right.
Yeah, in
what year?
I'm trying to think. It was either 79 or 80.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And at that time, you were playing for Edmonton?
Edmonton, right.
Right.
Yeah, I think I really like Toronto. It's one of my favorite cities.
Toronto, eh?
Yeah.
You mean your favorite city was Toronto?
Yeah, I really like Toronto.
Okay.
Like the people there. Hamilton is nice, too, but I really like Toronto.
All right. Well, I'm really glad to, you know, we learn about you, Dr. Lally, every day.
I hear you.
Absolutely. And now, Mario, you finally met the shoulders I stand on in America. You've seen Mr. Nathan Hill, the sponsor of this radio show, who felt my voice needed to be lifted up and lifted to the nation, and I stand on his shoulders. You've met Ida, who loved me and followed me and came out to California to shake my hand, who brought her testimony to Nathan and said, we got to help Dr. Lally. And now all of you have met Rod and Mario and Pierre, and there's so many people in Canada I have met who have loved me and fed me,
When I go up there, they bring me this rich hot chocolate that is so delicious. I must gain 2 or 3 pounds from just drinking this rich hot chocolate. But Rod pushes my intellect. He pushes me because he is so interested in how effective the technology is in energizing water, and he's studying the applications for hydroponic indoor farming, and he studied it with his dog, had a tumor. He wrapped that nano on the leg of the tumor, and the leg started healing and pushed the tumor out through the skin. And he has had a neighbor that had a 3 centimeter brain tumor with debilitating migraine headaches, and he rigged up a nano on a flashlight, gave it to the neighbor, measured out and quantified the levels of radiation in their home, and a miracle happened. The tumor vanished, and that neighbor made the front page of the newspaper up there, and she shared her testimony about maybe 5 months ago. Speaking of 5 months, we got to get Lynn and Rita back on this line. We need their testimony again, Rod. But
I know.
Just share a little bit with my brother about how you feel about the technology. Because it's wild that his sister's got the support in Canada and the U.S. Go ahead and share.
Well, all I can say, Dr. A, is that this technology will make miracles on anyone. And the best advice I can give to anybody is experiment on your own body. Because, you know, it goes from something so little, like a lady who's been in 4 very disastrous auto accidents, having to go to physiotherapy every week because of the pain in her limbs and her muscles. And she wears a flat battery, and she feels great. She's only been to physiotherapy once in probably the past 5-6 months.
Wow.
So from a weekly basis to once every 6 months, you know, only because you wear the flat battery. And it didn't work under her left heel. It worked in her right back pocket.
Wow.
So everybody is different. Everybody will feel the power in a different way depending how they wear it. So, you know, if it doesn't work for you in one way, keep experimenting until you find the right way.
And Mike, this gentleman has done so many miracles in his community. He's so passionate about the technology, educating people that it's an electrical safety device, but it's full of natural frequencies, and people are revolutionizing the technology all over the world. It's now in Iceland. I heard from a medical doctor that came, that was at the gold medal competition when I won, and he took some back to Iceland, and apparently a lady got kicked by a horse and had an intercostal muscle sprain but developed a lump that would not go away. And the lump was there for like 7 months. And he had contacted me and said, you know, well, what should I do? Will the nano work for her? I said, I have no idea. But because it's an intercostal muscle, meaning that it's the muscle in between the ribs, and that's where the nodule is, I said, you need to put it on a flashlight, and that will help it penetrate the frequency. And he contacted me, and he said, you know what, Dr. Lally? I was really anticipating that it was going to take 1 week or 2 weeks or something like that. He said, I had her do that in my office, and we're sitting there talking, and she goes out in the lobby. She said she got immediate relief from the tenderness and started feeling better within like 2 or 3 minutes, so she just kept the light in that space when she was out in the lobby waiting for her friend, who also came to the doctor with her, and her friend was in the restroom. she said she stood up and the nodule shrunk from like the size of a boiled egg to half the size before she left my office, and she called me the next day saying the nodule was totally gone. He said, you know, this technology is amazing for muscle inflammation. And I'm just totally dumbfounded that the technology is now traveling all over the world. We have a doctor from Harvard is now using it in Nigeria, and I'm excited to hear the results that he's getting. We're excited. We had a big party at a natural food store. The last time I was in Washington, D.C., we have the chiropractor that saved my life. I'm going to try to get her on next week. She was the one that told me all my organs were failing and I was about to die. She did an iridology exam on me. And so I'm just so excited that my brother's labor of love for me, that he's able to hear how his faith in me and financing my lesson education. Go ahead.
Hello?
We're here, Mr. Wilson.
No, I'm fine. I'm listening.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm just saying goodnight to everybody. I want to thank everybody for being on the line tonight.
Okay.
And before we go, I just want everyone to hear from the Reverend Dr. Barbara Reynolds from USA Today. I have just enjoyed her. I've been going through her archives and her legacy, and I actually touched a piece of sculpted work of art out of copper that was a gift to her from Winnie Mandela, the former wife of Nelson Mandela. I want you to hear what she has to say about this nanotechnology. Here's Dr. Barbara Reynolds.
Well, I can say that I am happy that it is blessing so many people. But I think that the words of God is very appropriate, that eyes have not seen and ears have not heard, and neither has it entered into hearts of men what lies ahead for those who love the Lord. So we just pray that it will do what God intends it to do and that it will bring him glory. That's how I feel about it. Take care.
On that note, I'm going to say goodnight, everybody. You can unmute yourselves and say goodnight. And I love and appreciate you. I look forward to next week being on this line. You're fabulous. I love my Canadian family. I love my family in California, in New York, and Puerto Rico, St. Croix. I love you all from everywhere. Special shout-out to the Clark family in Pittsburgh that's on the line tonight. Elder Clark. And his shoulders, he was my coach to get the first gold medal and the second gold medal. And I want to thank everybody. Thank Heather for her shout-out of joy and how she keeps me focused on this campaign trail. She wants to say thank you, Uncle Mike.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Have a good night. That's it.
Lots
of love to everyone, especially coming this weekend, Valentine's Day.
Are you in love, Mary?
Hi. Take care, everyone.
All
good
right.
Night, everybody. Happy
Valentine's
Day.
All right, good night.
Did you call me?
All right, sis, I'm gone.
Okay, Big Daddy. I love
all
and
right.
Appreciate you. Bye-bye.
Yep.
What kind?